This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today.
And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Welcome on in. It's the Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Giglio, you guys with us. 215-592-9494. What a wild weekend it was. Phillies get 2 out of 3, which I didn't see coming. And, of course, the NFL draft, we got a whole bunch of rookies to talk about, and maybe one name that didn't end up here, but he almost did. Good morning, Hugh.
Good morning, Joe. Good morning, Philadelphia. Hey, make sure that, first of all, you turn your mic on. Mm-hmm. And, you know, just do your homework when you're trying to find out some of these stories. Vet some of these stories that are
vet.
Coming out.
You got to vet
these stories.
You got to vet
do
them.
Your homework.
Here's what we did. We did our homework. We watched the draft this weekend. Jihad Campbell and Andrew Makuba, the safety, and Ty Robinson and Mac McWilliams and Drew Kendall and Kyle McCord. Eagles landed a bunch of players who more on the third day of the draft than on the first couple days of draft. But, Hugh, overall, what'd you think? So we knew Jihad Campbell was Thursday night.
Mm-hmm.
I like the safety they took out of Texas on Friday night, Makuba. And then that Ty Robinson defensive tackle out of Nebraska seems like a really interesting player with a lot of skills, maybe get to the quarterback and stop the run. What'd you think overall of what Howie did this weekend?
I think it was a good draft. I think they feel the needs that they had to feel. You know, a lot of people are happy that most of the draft picks were defensive players, which is good. We needed to replenish the ranks. And I think the Eagles did a good job. Give them a grade B.
A B?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's not a bad grade.
No, it's not a bad grade at all.
I thought the draft lacked a little sizzle from the Eagles' perspective, but that's okay.
It was a lot going on.
Well, there was. Yeah. I liked the players. Like I thought Makuba could be the Chauncey Gardner-Johnson replacement as early as this season, and I think Robinson's going to be a big help on the defense line. So overall, they got some good guys. The developmental quarterback we'll get to later with some ties, obviously, to the area back at St. Joe's Prep. Or we'll get to the whole draft and everything the Eagles did over the course of the show. And we'll do some Phillies takeaways. But, Hugh, sometimes the story is not what happens, it's what doesn't happen. And the story this weekend around the NFL, and not just for our purposes, was the fall of Shedeur Sanders. I mean, that was the story of the weekend.
Yeah.
Shedeur Sanders, who many people thought would be a first-round pick. I mean,
was projected to be a first, or at least a second-round pick, yeah, second-day pick.
I think it was strongly thought he was a first-round pick until the last couple days, and then people said, you know what? He actually might fall out of the first round. And that became the we weren't surprised Thursday night when he fell out of the first round. But when you got to Friday night and he didn't go in the second round, and then he didn't go in the third round, and then the draft starts again on Saturday and he's not going, I got to tell you, I couldn't have been the only one wondering what's going on, why did he fall, and then where he's going to land. All right, so there's a lot to react to here. 215-592-9494. Hugh, I want your take on the Shedeur Sanders thing. And after you give me your take on what happened there, I have a question for you. So first, tell me, what do you think about this? Because it's one of the more famous falls in terms of, really, I've ever seen in the NFL draft, where lots of people think he's a high pick, and obviously most in the NFL did not agree with that.
There's a lot to unpack with this, Joe, mm-hmm. And that's the unfortunate thing about it. I've been getting phone calls about this all weekend, and I've been trying to explain to people to the best of my ability. It was just not one thing. Because we've all seen the narratives on the internet and everything like that. And I'll say this about that. Being a guy that has been drafted and knowing how this process works, you try to shed light on this for people can understand, but the unfortunate thing about this situation, Joe, is that whatever camp you're in, whether it's racial, whether it's the football camp, whatever, you're in that camp and you're not listening to anything else, anything that anybody else is saying. Now, this is a fact. There has never been a player that as touted, as talented as Shadur has, whatever he had, a first grade talent or a second grade talent, that dropped this far in the draft. This is the first time that's ever happened, especially when you talk about where he was slated to go and everything, to fall to the fifth round. That's never happened, especially in a position where there's a lot of people that are trying to find a quarterback. That's a fact. Mm. I mean, you can go look it up. For somebody that had the type of grade that he had, and, you know, for you to go through the whole draft and people say that he's the best talent available, to fall that far, that has never happened.
It's one of the most famous falls in draft history.
So that's a fact. Now, if you want to be in the camp of his father had something to do with that, there's probably a little bit to that, because they did come off as a little arrogant. He didn't go to training camp. He didn't work out at the combine. There's a whole bunch of things that he did not do.
Yep.
But I'll say that to this, and this is the comparison that I was trying to make last night. And if there's any other quarterback that you could compare him to, please throw that out there. But it just so happened that the quarterback that I was trying to compare him to was Johnny Manziel. Wasn't comparing the numbers that Johnny Manziel put up in college. I was talking more about his cockiness and his brashness. If you want to go to another quarterback, you have Baker Mayfield, who the week before the draft got in trouble with the cops. It didn't stop him from getting drafted.
Yeah, as a player, the cockiness, there's a Baker thing to him.
Yeah. It's a little bit of that. Yeah. So, you know, people automatically assume that you're trying to make it a race thing. No, I was comparing him to another quarterback that got drafted that was considered cocky. Now, if there was a black one that you could compare it to, point him out, and I ought to use that as an example, but that was the one that came to mind. So there's that side of it. And then people talk about his record at Colorado and his completion rate and all that. This is one of those things, people, where you ever heard a thing called the perfect storm?
Mm-hmm.
This was that. This was the arrogance played a part in this. The cockiness played a part of it. I think there was some racial undertones, a little bit of that. But more so, it was because a lot of people felt he needed to be humble, you know. So that there's that part of it. Now, what Shadur has to do, and I tweeted out last week, I said, if I'm Shadur, I would probably go to Canada. That was probably a little bit over the top. I was a little bit over the top with that tweet. But what he needs to do now is prove that he belongs, which is going to be tough.
Sure.
Because the reality of this situation is this. They about five or six deep in that quarterback room. It's a lot of damn quarterbacks.
Well, it is.
It's not a lot of reps to get.
Well, they drafted another quarterback in the third round, Cleveland, before they drafted Shadur Sanders. All right, so here, I agree with you that there's probably five or six different things that played a role into this. I mean, some teams probably just didn't think he was great. They thought he was pretty good, but not great. Who knows what the draft process did to him? I don't think he handled it great in terms
of. He didn't, from what I've heard, because I've talked to friends of mine. And like I said, there's so much stuff to unpack with this. It's just not one thing.
Right.
It's a combination of a bunch of different things.
You throw Dion in there, and whether or not it's actually a distraction, I don't know. But maybe some perceived it was. Look, I don't know what happened and why he fell. Also, there could have been a discrepancy between experts, what they thought, and what the truth was. Sometimes that happens in the draft. This was a huge disparity. This was wide. Yeah, if people thought he was a first-round pick and he was fifth, someone was obviously way off, and that was the people we thought knew what they were talking about before the draft. There's this reality, though. As any player falls, Hugh, any player in the draft, teams start looking at him, and maybe they say, well, we didn't love him in the first round. We didn't love him in the second, but he's there, right? And and even if we didn't love him, it's the fourth or fifth round, and one of those teams might as just well have been the Philadelphia Eagles. Listen to Ian Rappaport on the Eagles' potential interest as the draft unfolded and the Browns jumped over the Eagles to take Shadur Sanders.
Rich, there have been rumors all day that the Philadelphia Eagles were interested in Shadur Sanders, would be a perfect landing spot for him, a veteran quarterback room, a team with a really good backbone, really good culture. Well, the Cleveland Browns just traded over the Eagles. I wonder, obviously they have Dylan Gabriel yesterday. Did the Browns do this thinking the Eagles would take Shadur, and just maybe? We'll see.
Well, I can answer that. At least I'll give my opinion. Yes, that's why the Browns traded over the Eagles. The teams don't just trade up in the fifth round for the hell of it. They do it because they don't want to lose the player, and they think the team right behind them might take the player. So obviously, the Browns may have thought the Eagles were going to take him. Hugh, as he fell down the board, I know we had a little discussion Friday, second round, but as we got to the fourth, fifth round, Did you want the Eagles to take him?
I did. And that's I heard the same thing. I heard that the Eagles were talking about taking him. I think it would have been a good fit. It would have been a good culture for him to be in. Because I think when I talk about some of the things that Shador brought to the table, here's the problem with Shador and his pops. And this is one of the angles that maybe you might have taken, the people out there listening to you people. Maybe you might have taken it. But his dad is a huge presence in the locker room. Mm. He would be a – excuse me. His dad would have been a huge presence looming over whatever team was drafted him. The Cleveland Browns, when they drafted him, they didn't look too excited. I know
– Drew Barry looked like he was being held hostage.
And they told you can't really read anybody's – you know, don't pay too much attention. Don't read too much into that. But let's be honest. Shador Sanders goes in the second round, there's a chance that he might start. Or he's going to a team where he's going to be the biggest voice. Say if he'd went to the Saints and his pops is back there. Kellen Moore just got the job.
Sure.
Deion's over there. You know he has head coach aspirations.
It's a lot.
That's a lot of pressure. That's a lot of pressure to put on somebody.
But you think the Eagles could have handled it?
Well, the Eagles could have handled that because, first of all, you're not taking Jalen Hurts' job. Nick Sirianni just won the Super Bowl. So you're not in a position to be intimidated by whatever Deion says or his son.
Right.
So that's that. I think that a lot of these teams that when they passed on Shador, a lot of them had that thought process like, well, hell, especially when you talk about the Giants. Now, there's reports that Shador didn't test well or whatever. He wasn't prepared. Mm. But when you look at the Giants, if they'd have taken him in the second round, you got Shador sitting there, you know, as a quarterback, and his pops that coached him is there. They're trying to save that. They don't want that heat.
Well, I think that when you ran through all the reasons why he probably fell, one of them.
That's probably one of the reasons why they don't want that heat.
215-592-9494. So here's where I was at on it. I mean, I thought about it. I mean, and so I'll be honest. I have two minds here. One, like, it would be wild if he was here. Just from
the storyline.
Talk show perspective, storyline.
It would have been fun.
He's a huge name. It would have been fun, right? It would have brought attention, a different kind of attention here. But just from a football perspective, I didn't want him. And it wasn't because I was like, I don't want him here. I don't want him on this football team. I don't have anything against him. He's just a football player. But you know this from last week. I didn't see it with him. Like, I wasn't surprised he was falling the first round. I don't think he's that great of a prospect. So I wasn't like, oh, my God, this guy's falling. Wow, I need to get him. It wasn't like, because I like Jalen Milroe. That's the kind of guy I wanted him as the backup quarterback. But all right, they didn't get him. But I wasn't banging the table. I didn't want them to do it. And Hugh, for me, it was this. And we kept hearing the same stories about testing and interviews. And I feel like the Eagles could have brought him into their culture.
Mm-hmm.
I just didn't view Shador Sanders as a player the Eagles would draft. Like, does he fit their culture? Not that they couldn't have handled him. Because the Eagles have had you go to Devontae Smith, right? You go to Jalen Hurts. They have had a run of drafting players, Nolan Smith. It feels like they draft guys that are football first, love the game, and are team guys. And those are questions that keep coming up about Shador Sanders. Like, can he play a little bit? I think he could play a little bit. I don't think he's a bad prospect. But there seems to be this thing out there that maybe he's not football first, right? That he doesn't love the game as much, or that he's not the best teammate or the best team guy. And I don't know if those are true. I just know the Eagles have done all this to build this culture the last 5 years. And I didn't feel he fit as much as the other guys.
You know what? I look at it like this. Like, I've never met Shador. I know his pops. Obviously, we played against him. I look at it like this. I think he loves the game. I think that, you know, this weekend was humbling for him. Very, very humbling. In a way where he probably looks at a lot of things differently and probably wish he would handle a lot of it differently.
I'm sure he did. I mean, in terms of money, he lost a lot of money this weekend.
Yeah, he did. He did. I think that he could be a good player. I think this was somewhat of a wake-up call for him. I don't expect him not to be who he is, though, at his core. But he might tone it down a little bit. Like, and I tried to tell somebody this weekend. And they were like, he was arrogant. He thought he was better than everybody else. And I told him, I said, I hate to break this to you, but there's not a professional athlete on this planet that does not think that they're better than somebody else. It's just the way that you carry yourself. And for him, his demeanor and his bravado – it rubbed a lot of people the wrong way.
Obviously, because talent-wise, he probably should have went higher than the fifth round.
And that's where you have to ask yourself. Because here's what I do know. I remember when I went to the combine, there's a lot of cats that when teams tried to talk to him, they had that same attitude because they had the game to back it up.
Yep.
And that's what you have to ask yourself. Like, you could say that Shador wasn't this, that, or third, but there's never been a player who has been as highly touted as him fall to the fifth round like that.
That's why it became the story of the draft, yeah. Because it just it was out of the ordinary. And now part of it was he was a famous quarterback, right?
And his famous father, right, and he went to Colorado.
Sometimes players fall, but if it's a guard, it's not a story, right? Yeah. But this was the most high-profile fall in a very long time. All right, can we hear this before we go any further? So Rap Sheet said the Browns may have traded over the Eagles to get Shedeur Sanders. I believe him. I think that's why the Browns did it. And then Howie Roseman was asked about this, and I found his answer, well, just listen to this, because I think there's a different way he could have answered it, but it kind of left the door open that, yeah, they might have taken Shedeur Sanders.
Did you kind of think, like, when Cleveland traded ahead of you, that you guys were looking at Shedeur Sanders? And if you can talk in general, like, are you kind of surprised he was still there in the fifth round?
Yeah, I feel like the best thing for us to do is focus on the players that we brought in here. You know, it'd be a disservice to the players that we drafted to talk about other teams' players. We got enough on our own plate to worry about with the Philadelphia Eagles, so we'll stick to that.
Very odd answer. Hugh, do you know how we could answer that question?
Just say
Mac McWilliams was the pickup we were going to make. I mean, all he had to say was we loved Mac. Mac was the kid we were going to pick with our next pick, and the Browns made a good pick themselves. But, like, he left that door open. He didn't say no, and he also didn't say we were taking Mac McWilliams regardless if he was on the board.
Well, I think that's the beauty of Howie, because he leaves it open so that we can interpret it the way that we want to interpret it.
I'm interpreting it. They were going to take Shedeur Sanders. All right, 215-592-9494. Did you want the Eagles to draft Shedeur as he was falling? Hugh did. I didn't. Kyle, where do you come down as Saturday? Well, it went from Friday to Saturday. It became the biggest story of the draft. Did you want Shedeur?
I mean, I have to admit, I at least thought about it as it was happening.
Well, I think everyone did.
The whole situation was crazy for him to have been falling that far. After, I mean, people were speculating that he was going to be like a top five pick. Yeah. He could go to the Giants and go in the first round. And then you were like, okay, well, if he's not going in the first, he's got to be going in the second, right? But to fall that far, you're like, I think I would have been, I think I'm glad at the end of the day that they didn't take him. I was with you. Jalen Milroe was kind of the apple of my eye. I did want him to take a quarterback, but if I'm taking a quarterback, I want a guy that I think has something that he does really well. Like Milroe was a great runner. Like he's coming into this and you're thinking that he could be faster than Lamar Jackson. Like that's something that I'm like, man, if they could just hone that skill set. And I mean, you could turn him into a pretty damn solid quarterback. I just think, I mean, among a few reasons, like, Shedeur Sanders probably adds too many big personalities in his locker room that has a lot of big personalities to begin with. It just feels like it could have been a volatile situation, especially with what was going on with his dad and everything in the pre-draft process. But ultimately, my biggest reason that I didn't want him is I just don't think he's that good. Like, I don't see anything that Shedeur Sanders does really, really well. And I never really thought that, I mean, I didn't think of him as a guy that should be picked in the top five, even though that was kind of what the hype was surrounding him with the media. But like, I just don't think he's that good of a player. So at the end of the day, like, it really just comes down to that. Like, I think I would have been okay with the Jalen Milroe pick, but at the end of the day, glad that they didn't do the Shedeur thing.
Yeah, so I wasn't banging the table either Saturday, but I would not have been surprised if they did it. It would have been a very Eagles thing to do. The Eagles value the quarterback position more than any of
and he has a chance to grow. And I would even venture to say with the quarterback room, probably had a chance to stick. Probably would have had a chance to stick in Cleveland. See, this is the reality, and this is the thing that most people that got drafted know. Everybody's like, oh, he's happy he got drafted in the fifth round. Now, him and Shiloh, they probably won't make the squad. I mean, that's just the reality of it. Probably won't make the squad. That's not a lot of reps. When you think about quarterbacks, think about it like this. If we had, in a 20-rep day, the starting quarterback getting about 12 of those reps, and then getting most of them, then you got to divvy the rest of them out.
Right now, and they have Flacco, Pickett. They drafted a quarterback in the third round and Shedeur.
And not only that, when you talk about that quarterback room, that 12 reps, because they probably want to look at Flacco. They already know what Flacco can do. They're probably going to look at two gloves.
Yep.
They're going to split those reps.
And the other quarterback they drafted.
Yeah,
it's a lot.
Yeah, it's a lot going on, man.
215-592-9494. For your reaction to the Eagles draft, I like the safety out of Texas a lot, and that defensive tackle looks like he could be a player. But the story became Shedeur Sanders, and the Eagles, at least in the eyes of the Browns, I think, were going to take him there in that fifth round. They jumped over them. Did you want the Eagles to take Shedeur Sanders as he was falling on Friday and especially on Saturday? Let's go to the phone lines here. Chris in Middletown starts us off on a post-draft Monday. Good morning, Chris.
Chris.
Happy put your coat on Mothballs Day, man.
What's up, Chris?
winter's gone, Hugh. You can put that coat away. You're good.
I'm good.
I think we're over. It's over now. Yeah, it's May later this week. It's going to be in the 80s. We're good now.
Perfect. We're there. That's what I'm looking at, man. We're beyond that. So I do want to stop because that was the second biggest story. The biggest story that I heard come out over the weekend. Hugh, so I want to take a minute. I want to tell you I appreciate everything you've done for Philadelphia since you returned. You know, I know I'm going to miss you tremendously, you know, but I fully understand, like Billy Joel's song said, you know, that New York state of mind is where your heart's at.
Oh, I can't wait going
to New York. Man, listen, I haven't. I'm not going to lie. Full disclosure. I called Aaron Glenn.
Of course you did. We know. You don't have to tell us.
I asked him, you know, when I can come visit. He said, whenever you get ready. So, yeah, I called. I mean, but this was, in my defense, this was
You're
before.
Unbelievable.
No, this was before I found out that he was drafted.
No one believes you.
I know. And I told the story, and nobody still believes
Once a Jet, always a Jet, this guy over here, Chris. It's unbelievable.
I've heard reports that that Hugh actually reached out to Spike and start trying to see if he could make some phone calls for him.
To go to New York? I'm not definitely not going to New York.
You want
to
get close to Dante? We get it. Go ahead, Chris. So,
hey, listen, Hugh, it's only a train ride or a short drive away. It's not that bad. You can make it work. It's close enough. It's not West Coast.
No, it's definitely not the West Coast.
Can we get back to the topic here, which is, can you imagine what the city of Philadelphia would be like with Jalen and Shador as the backup? I mean, the storylines, I mean, literally from an entertainment value, and me being a little bit emotional as a fan, that ride would have been a hell of a ride. And then you got Deion behind the scenes being Deion and doing what Deion says and saying things. And then imagine this, sprinkle in a little Nick Sirianni on the top of it. Like, the show would have been incredible. Like, I know poor Kyle. Kyle was hoping he would get drafted because he's not being truthful. He wanted to get drafted because he knew he'd have enough material for a lifetime of programming. I mean, the story would have been just unbelievable.
But did you want him as a football player?
I would take him. I would take him. I think it's – I'm not going to get into it, guys, because I know a lot of people are going to have a lot to say on this. Hugh, I 100% agree with you. It's all of everything that's about to be said today sprinkled in a culmination of togetherness. Personally, I think it was a lot of total 100% nonsense going on. There's no reason a talent of him – that is predicted to be a top five falls to the fifth round. That's just, there's a lot of shenanigans going on there, and it's not just one thing. I think it's, again, a culmination of it all. So, but let's focus on what we did get. Kyle should be the happiest guy because he got CJ's little brother in Andrew Makupa, you know, and we'll come up with names for this guy. But he's a young version of him. But, guys, the steal of the draft was administered by the legend, Howie Roseman. Defense man is you because Philadelphia is bringing John J-I-H-A-A-D. Yeah, Philly!
You know, the only reason I knew, well,
Chris,
he set
that.
It up for us, but then he spelled it right because I was looking at
you're making
the
sure?
List. Yeah. Well, I had the list of the names, like, right there.
You got to have the two A's in there. You got to make sure you have that. 215.
Good job, Chris.
592-949. It was a defense-heavy draft for the Eagles. They get Jahad Campbell. They get Makupa, and they get themselves Ty Robinson with their first three picks. Are your reaction to the draft, what the Eagles did, and Shedeur Sanders? As he fell in the draft, did you want the Eagles to take him? Hugh did. I wasn't there. Where were you? 215-592-9494. Did you want Shedeur Sanders as he was slipping the draft? Your thoughts on that? We'll get to some of the stories out there that are coming out now about the Shedeur Sanders situation, why he slipped, at least according to one person with one team. We'll hit that next. Your phone calls as well. Midday Show, Sports Radio 94 WIP. Welcome back. Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Jill, you guys with us. 215-592-9494. As we discuss the NFL draft. Nice win by the Phillies last night. And a good bounce back last couple days because I was in a dark
Jordan
place.
Jordan Romano.
Yeah, Romano last night got a scoreless inning. Nola pitched excellent. We'll do more Phillies coming up in a little bit. I was in a dark place Friday, though, when they lost that game. And they bounced back. At least they got these two. And they come home to play the Nats tomorrow. So things feeling a little better in Phillies land. The NFL draft, the Eagles go defense early on. but they don't select Shedeur Sanders. As he fell, did you want the Eagles to take him? 215-592-9494. I didn't. Milroe was my guy. If we were taking a quarterback, that's who I wanted. And then they got McCord later. We'll talk about him. But if they were taking a quarterback somewhere in the middle of the draft or early, I wanted Milroe. That didn't happen. But as Shedeur fell, I mean, it was on my mind. We were all texting about it Saturday. Like, are they going to do this? And then it seems like they were going to. Browns jumped the Eagles. Did you want the Eagles to do it? 215-592-9494. All right, before we go back to everyone's phone calls, let's hear some of what's out there about the Shedeur situation, why people think he fell. Todd McShay, who used to be with ESPN, now he does his own stuff on his own, and
he got the boot. I didn't know he
came. Oh yeah, he's not at ESPN anymore. But he does a podcast and he's got his own.
Damn.
He's with The Ringer. But Hugh, he heard this story and put it out about the meeting between Shedeur and the Giants and what went wrong there. Here it is.
Shedeur didn't have a great interview with Brian Daboll in a private visit. An install package came in. The preparation wasn't there for it. Got called out on it. Didn't like that. Brian didn't appreciate him not liking it. I've said this before, and it started at the combine, and a couple days after the combine, I don't like saying report. Like, we don't report anything. I shared information that I got information people that are in this business that are really great at their job and talking to a lot of the same people I'm talking to and probably more. I know more. I was surprised it wasn't being talked about. That Shedeur Sanders, I told you, if you've been following the show from the beginning, I told you there were two personnel people that I spoke to who were in the room during interviews, which means they're key parts of the organization. Let's leave it at that. Two teams drafting in the top 10 with quarterback needs where the interviews did not go well. Not disrespectful, nothing harsh. Just felt like the phrase I've been using, and I think it aptly describes it, we didn't get the sense that Shedeur cared all that much about what we thought of him.
So, Hugh, I'm of two minds on that story, okay? My first thought is, Shedeur's got to do better in interviews, right? If you want a job, you got to do better interviews. That's obvious. The second thing is, it's a bad look on the Giants to let that leak out. Like, you're just making him look bad. Like, if say you had a job interview with a boss, right? And you didn't do well.
Mm-hmm.
The boss doesn't have to go tell everyone how bad you did. He just doesn't have to hire you. And the Giants obviously didn't want him. Whatever, they don't have to take him. It was weird to me that detail came out. It was almost like it was put out there on purpose.
Damage control.
Well, and to make everyone make it clear, we didn't take him because of this nonsense. It's weird.
This is how I see it. It's because at this point, you hear the undertones that are being thrown out there, the racial undertones. We might as well call it what it is because that's what I saw this weekend. And now you're getting heat because people are asking why you didn't do this, that, or the third. So now you're trying to CYA and tell people. Now, to be fair, there's been a lot of guys that have been, you know, in those meeting rooms and they haven't done this, that, or the third, and they still got drafted. That's a fact. Like, you've heard stories of leak wonderlicks and all that other stuff. I can't remember the quarterback who had a bad wonderlick test. But it was leaked.
I remember that stuff. Stroud. Didn't Stroud have a tough one?
Something like that. One of the quarterbacks, and it was leaked, but he still got drafted. That's why when you hear these certain stories, you got to kind of take them with a grain of salt. Like I've said, and I will keep saying this, this was the perfect storm. This was a culmination of a bunch of different things. And if you're just stuck in one camp or the other, you might be right, but it's not just that one thing.
It was Stroud. He got a very low score.
It was a whole bunch of different things, man. And when, like I say, when you talk about attitude or arrogance, think about it like this, people. And I know a lot of people aren't going to want to admit this, but everything that you know about Shedeur, you were told by somebody else. And that's how you kind of automatically assumed he was this, that, or the third. Now, there are signs where he's arrogant. Like, somebody tried to show a picture. It was Danny Cannell. Threw up a picture where he was talking about how he was unkind to the ball boy. The ball boy was trying to snatch the ball from his brother. Now, I interpreted it as like, hey, he taking care of his brother. Like, what you doing? That's my brother. But a lot of other people looked at it and said, oh, that's the reason why he didn't get drafted. Mm. But like I said, I could show you video of other quarterbacks that I compared him to that were playing that did the similar thing. Baker Mayfield was planting flags on other teams' home turf, and nobody said anything about that. He's a gamesman.
I think you said it well in the beginning. It wasn't one thing. Because
it was a bunch of different things.
Right, and they added up, and then obviously I wouldn't be surprised if some teams just didn't like him. I mean, they didn't want him, and they moved on.
And it's something to be said. Now, I will say this about that quarterback position. There's something to be said because we've seen Gruden do it all when he had his quarterback camp.
Yep.
You come into that room knowing that John Gruden is probably one of the most premier offensive coordinators in the game. You're a little bit humble behind that. Now, Brian Daboll, dog, seriously? Like, you mad? Like, he probably saw your offense from what you ran from a year ago and was looking like, I mean, I get it. You're still supposed to respect him because he's a, you know.
Well, you're trying to get, it's a job interview.
Yeah, and I said that tongue-in-cheek because you still have to. You have to present well.
Yeah.
And if you're not ready for the meeting, then that's a red flag right there.
Of course it is.
It's a red flag.
215-592-9494. Look, all this is part of the story that happened this week. And Shedeur Sanders fell into the fifth round of the draft. Did you want the Eagles to take him? Now, also part of it is there may be some red flags or whatever you want to call it or issues. But if you think the guy is pretty good and he falls to a certain level, maybe there's just value there. I think that's probably what the Eagles were thinking, why they almost took him, according to a rap sheet. All right, let's hear Deion Sanders, though, because this was part of it, too, Hugh. It wasn't just the player. It was how much is the dad part of this. Here's Deion. When was this, back early in the spring during the process here? Deion Sanders on his son and his draft stock.
Have you told him privately who you would like for him to play for?
It's not like who I would like for him to play for. It's a couple teams that I won't allow him to play for. This is my profession. I know what's behind the curtain. We ain't got to get back there for me to understand what's not prominent for my son. I'm not doing it.
Hugh, I think Deion's presence has helped his son over the years. Like, he's here partly because of who his dad is, right? Like, helped him at Jackson State and in Colorado. That didn't help him. I mean, I don't see how that could have helped him when he said that out loud, because if I'm one of those teams that Deion says I don't want him to play for, well, then you're like, there's only 32 teams. You know what I mean? Like, you start taking away even one or two, you're cutting his chances off.
Yeah, there's something.
It's not good.
There is something to that. But I commend Deion for being in his son's life the way they did. There's only been two examples that I've seen where, you know, the father has been in their son's lives and it has been perceived as being a little bit over the top. It's been LeVar Ball and it was Deion.
LeVar Ball had a run.
Yeah, he had a run. But his one son, was it LaMelo, is doing well. All three of them got drafted, by the way. And one of them's a rapper, and the other two are playing in the NBA, I think. One of them's in the NBA. For
Lonzo definitely. Got hurt.
Yeah, he played for the Bulls, right?
Yes, LaMelo's a good player for Charlotte.
So it's like, when you talk to people, and when I talk to people that I know, and you see that you have two fathers that are in their sons' lives be treated this way, it makes you look at it and wonder what's going on. Because and another example, because, again, not race baiting, but I don't have too many examples to go off of. Eli Manning and Archie. Archie got it, his son, and there was a clip that they showed the other day where Archie, like, they told San Diego not to draft him.
Well, they said he wouldn't play there.
He's not playing there. Yeah. But
Elway did the same thing.
Yeah, but because his dad didn't want it to look bad on the weekend. They sat there and they held the jersey. They did all the pop and pageantry. But at the end of the day, he didn't go there.
And
I know that some people in the car talking about where Eli was in a different. It doesn't matter. It's the same thing as far as the father being a part of his son's life. Now, I know Deion is over the top. He is. And his son is the same way. But to have a talent like this is where the question needs to be answered for me. To have a talent like that, drop that far. What was it? Like, be honest. That's all I need to know is, honestly, he should at least been a second round draft pick.
It
maybe third.
Like
he should, like, tell me why he fell so far.
So, I to use your example, I'll go back to the phones here. I think Deion misread it. And you bring up a very fair point. The Archie thing wasn't that different, right? It's not. But they knew, I think they knew, he was going to be a top five pick no matter what. I think Deion thought he could say what he wanted to say and try to guide his son somewhere, and it wouldn't matter. But obviously, this one wasn't the same, right? It's almost like, do you have the cards in poker? The Mannings, the Elway had the cards. Shedeur didn't have the cards. Like, Deion, I think that hurt him, unfortunately.
And this is the thing, Joe, that happens every year when it comes to quarterbacks. You get a grade during your college year where, you know, we saw Baker Mayfield, Sam Darnold, that class. Remember when they came out?
Yeah.
And they were like, oh, I think it was Sam was the consensus favorite at the point, at the end of the season. And then as they start to sit down with these kids and they find out about them, then things start to change because they get to know them. Now yep. they're taking them to the lab and they're dissecting their game. Now, I was told by somebody that I trust that Shador wasn't as polished as they wanted him to be. Now, I heard that. Like, I heard that from more than one person.
And that's out there, which means that's probably true.
That's probably true. Yeah. So you got that coupled with the arrogance that he's displayed. We're not going to deny that. And his father being who he is. And a lot of people probably felt like, you know, he's a decent player, but not decent enough that I have to deal with that media
right,
service.
Exactly. 215-592-9494. Let's go to the phone lines here. Aaron in Mount Airy, talking Shador. What's up, Aaron?
What's going on, fellas?
Hey, Aaron, what are you thinking?
I didn't care to draft Shador. This is what I'm pushing back on. This is all I'm pushing back on. When people say, I just don't think he's that good. So explain to me, someone who led the in college football completion percentage, but you're willing, Joe, to take Jalen Monroe, who cannot throw the football.
Mm-hmm.
We already dealt with that with Jalen Hurts. And he's still not that great throwing football. Is that where we at right now when it comes to quarterbacks? I don't care if you can throw that well, as long as you can run. I thought throwing the football is the number one skill for quarterbacks. That's my thought.
So for me, Aaron, you got to have a special skill. And Milroe has one. I don't know if he's going to become any good. I mean, maybe he ends up like Justin Fields and he's kind of up and down. Maybe he ends up like Lamar Jackson. I don't know. But he's got a special skill.
He'll never be Lamar Jackson.
Well,
Lamar Jackson was a great college football quarterback.
Sure. I'm just saying there's a scale of with that skill set where he could become. As far as Shador goes, I just don't think there's anything special about his game. I don't think he's bad. Like, he could
accuracy,
be.
Joe.
Yeah. He Aaron, but you mentioned his stats. Football. You mentioned his stats. His stats are eerily similar to Gardner Minshew in college. They're like the same player to me.
We can point that out with a lot of middling quarterbacks.
Accurate, not a big arm, good college stats. Like Aaron, I think he could become Gardner Minshew, and I'm not trying to knock him. Like, I think right now he would take Gardner Minshew's career, considering he was just a fifth round pick. Like, I think he could bounce around, be a starter here and there. That's all. Like, so, like, I don't know. Like, I didn't need a Gardner Minshew.
This is how I'm framing it, right? Everyone's saying, well, the people who don't like him because of who he is or because of that is, you can't speak to people like that. Throughout the whole season, we all knew he was going to the draft. No one said a word about anything. Everyone knew who his dad was. He didn't just get adopted. And everyone knew how he was. Like, this was no secret. And Cam Ward didn't throw the combine either.
Right.
So he can't wonder. Also,
and a lot of quarterbacks these days don't throw. Yeah.
Yeah. Only the quarterbacks who need to put their stock in. Because Shador Sam, I honestly believe, no later than the second round pick. Based on, because people, they mock the mock draft. Like, well, they don't know what they're talking about. They talk to these people. And that's how they formulate where they think people are going to be slotted.
So what do you think happened here? What's your theory?
I don't care these sweat, but I'm just pointing out the nonsense that's being spewed. It's all football politics. Listen. I will put it like this. You know what I'm talking about. In the black community, right, when we feel your energy is off, and I'm not saying it's right or wrong, we match your energy. So we don't know how people were coming at him during these interviews because they may have already had a perceived notion about him. So they had a little – they were being very bristly with him. He's like, hold up. I can give her back to y'all. I'm not saying it's right or wrong.
What the kids call it now, code switching. Code switching. Yeah, that's what
it is. But here's the thing. In life, you have to code switch. But some people are like, you know what? I'm going to keep it real 24/7. But that's not how you should operate through life. So we don't know what went through. We don't know what went on in the interview. And I don't care if he slipped. I'm just pushing back against, like, when I watched him play, because they showed enough football, he could throw the football. And I've railed against Jalen Hurts since he's in Alabama. I was like, the dude cannot throw the football. He's gotten better. I care if you can throw the football. Does he have a great arm? No, but he played in Colorado.
Sure.
And it's funny. People are saying, oh, I don't want him playing in the Meadowlands. But you're but he's okay to play in Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh is colder than the Meadowlands.
Well, that is so, true. Aaron, did you want him as he slipped for the Eagles?
No. You know why I didn't want him?
Why?
Because I care about the Eagles. I don't care about Shedeur Sanders, and we're going to talk about him every day. That's why I didn't want him. But I just want people to keep it real. Just like, just keep it real about the situation. We know what happened. The football pod is winning the play. But he's okay. He's not hurt for money. He's coming from
– in life, he'll be fine. And look, maybe he'll make it. And Aaron, we appreciate the phone call. As far as how good he is or was, look, I'm not a scout. I'm a fan. That's all I got for you. All I see is when I watched him, he was obviously productive, Hugh. But I didn't see anything special about his game. He doesn't run much. He takes a lot of sacks. He throws a pretty ball. He is accurate. But, like, in terms of getting better in the NFL, I didn't – like, when Jalen Hurts – he brought up Jalen Hurts, right?
Mm-hmm.
Jalen had toughness, running ability, leadership, all – he checked all those boxes. And his arm was good, but it was – like, they had to refine his mechanics. But you could see, like, how – like it was very clear to me how Jalen could get better. If he worked on his mechanics and became more accurate, there was something there. With Shedeur, I'm not sure how much better he's going to get.
Let me ask you this. And I'm going to ask you this too, Kyle. With what – I don't know how much college football either one of you guys have watched, but given what we know about Shedeur and his dink and dunk style of play.
Yeah, right.
Could he be compared to a Brock Purdy? Similar.
Well,
skill
maybe,
set.
Yeah. Physically, Purdy was Mr. Irrelevant in the draft.
Yes. And he.
And with that.
Go ahead, you finish.
No, but with that being said, he should have probably went a little bit higher than
for
he
sure
did.
than
you know
Mr.
what I mean?
Irrelevant.
And that's where I think, because see, that's where people are upset. Like, I don't know what Shedeur would have been in the NFL as a quarterback, but I do know that quarterbacks are in high demand.
Well, maybe we'll look back at it as this a mistake too. Purdy should have been higher.
It might have been.
I mean, in retrospect, Purdy should have been a first rounder in that draft.
And we've seen people reach for quarterbacks, especially that position.
Yeah.
And people want to justify the thing about he didn't do this, that, and the third, but he was a quarterback in college. And he won games. And that's a position that is at an absolute premium in the NFL.
I think I would just say this, because if you tell me that their best attribute in college is accuracy, that can be a little bit tricky in terms of like how it translates to the NFL.
NFL game.
Because
you
do have like the dink and dunk aspect to it. But also, we use this phrase all the time, like NFL open, mm-hmm. as opposed to college open. Like, there are some throws that you probably get away with in college that you're probably not getting away with in the NFL.
Definitely.
He also had, the last couple of years, the best athlete in college football to throw passes to Travis Hunter. Right? I don't know what teams thought of him deep down. Obviously, he got picked in the fifth round. But maybe someone could say his stats, and then someone watched the tape and say, well, he threw a jump ball, and Travis Hunter, you know, he grabbed it because he's the best player.
And here's another unfortunate thing about the situation with the Browns. He's not going to get the coaching that them other cats get. It's almost going to be impossible.
Well, you brought up Purdy. Purdy got to go to the 49ers with Kyle Shanahan.
Yes.
Right? Like, he had a loaded team around him.
Yes.
Then Garoppolo got hurt and Lance got hurt, and he had Shanahan calling the plays.
He had a guy that was willing to work with him.
Yeah.
It's just going to Cleveland and being the fifth pick at that in an already crowded quarterback room. You got like five quarterbacks in there.
Yeah, it's a lot.
That's a lot.
Yeah, it is. Let's go to Jeff in Wilmington. Hey, Jeff.
What's going on, guys?
Hey,
what's Jeff.
Going
on, what's Jeff?
Up?
Yeah, there's a whole lot of reasons why this guy fell. But for me, if I'm an NFL GM, I wouldn't have picked him only because I don't want the father hanging over my head all the time. Like, as a former coach, like coaching youth sports, there's nothing worse than having a kid that has talent and their parent is on your butt all the time because their kid is this and their kid is that. Like, I know this. I know it's way bigger than that here in the NFL. But to me, that was the thing. Like, and first of all, why do we need him? Why would the Eagles take him?
Well, they did Now, Jeff, I didn't want him either. I wanted Milroe. But to be fair, the Eagles did draft a quarterback, right? They drafted McCord.
I understand that. But that guy flies under the radar. Shedeur Sanders is. He's right in the middle of the race.
I know he's a magnet. He's a magnet for attention. I mean, that's true.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I don't think the Eagles A need it or do they want it? Why would you want that? We won the Super Bowl, and we had a great draft to begin with. Why would we bring that that energy to the team? It's unwanted, and it's kind of par for the course that you know. Yeah, Howie Manziel was Johnny Manziel was drafted. You know, and he was a wild card. And, of course, you know, the Browns taking over.
I know. It's the Browns again. That is ironic, Hugh, that it's the Browns again.
Well, I look at it like this, Jeff and Joe. Mm-hmm. The Eagles are an organization that Shadur would be the story for like a day because he's here. And then it would just be another day. It would be another day at the office. Like,
I don't know, Hugh.
You don't think so? Shadur's antics would have moved the meter like that. We would have talked about him, no question about it.
Yeah.
But it would have been nothing for the Eagles.
So
I don't think.
I think the Eagles could have handled it, but you know, Hugh, there are some people that are magnets for this. I remember they're totally different. But Tim Tebow was not much of an NFL player. He was a magnet for attention.
Yeah. And
right, you're right. Like everyone talked about him, even when he didn't play. He was a backup.
Yeah, you're right.
I would worry that wouldn't happen, what you just said to you. Like, it would only last for a day. I would be worried that it would go on and on and on and on. And that's my main reason. What did everybody collude to not take him? I don't know. And if they did, I don't think it was there was maybe racial undertones. We can't deny that. I mean, look at our country. It's kind of the way things go sometimes.
It's just a shame that no matter what we talk about, that's the line that's always the dividing line.
Well, people think that. Whether it's, I don't know if it's true. Yeah. I don't know what happened. We appreciate the call, Jeff. So, Hugh, you met the Deion thing is interesting because I do wonder how many coaches, you mentioned Kellen Moore. I bet there's a lot of coaches, younger or not established coaches, that look
intimidated.
They didn't want Deion, or not just Deion chiming in, Deion taking their job in a year. Like,
yeah.
Like, there's a lot of coaches, maybe the Andys, the McVays, they don't worry about that, right? Shanahan, like, Deion's not taking their job. But, like, if you're a young coach who hasn't done anything,
Ben
and you
just... he's not going there, but like a Ben Johnson or somebody like that, yeah.
Yeah, like, you're like, do I got to deal with this?
Well, like Brian Daboll.
That's the one.
You're dead right. Of course.
Knowing that they needed a quarterback, the whole wearing the Giants cleats and stuff like that, yeah.
And he wanted to go there.
Yeah, he did.
We think he did. 215-592-9494. More of your phone calls coming up. As Shadur Sanders fell on the draft, did you want the Eagles to take him? I mean, there was a real possibility there heading into Saturday that he was going to be an Eagle. Did you want him here? We'll get to some audio from a few people coming up who are very high on Shadur coming out of this draft, including one of the better coaches in the NFL right now, a guy that's name fits in more with the Reeds and the Harbaughs of the world than he does with the Brian Daboll's. He liked him a lot. 215-592-9494 for Midday Show, Sports Radio 94 WIP. FanDuel, in partnership with Valley Forge Casino, is the best place to find all your favorite player props. And now you can make the heads-up play with player performance trends. That means whether you want to bet on a player to score 30 points or put up a triple-double, you can check out the latest stats and see who's hot without leaving the app. Plus, after the game tips off, you could even combine live prop bets into a same-game parlay for a chance to win big. If you don't already have FanDuel, playoff time is the perfect time to join. You get started with $250 in bonus bets if your first $5 bet wins. Visit FanDuel.com/GIGLIO to join today. Make every moment more with FanDuel, official sports betting partner of the NBA. FanDuel Sportsbook is the official partner of 94 WIP.